Might I say this much? You'll know your heart's right when you have a hard time taking compliments from people about your work, your use. The flesh will always be tempted. Let me say that much. If your flesh starts to settle in and embrace that and say, you know what, that is me and I am a really gifted person. Naturally, I've got these abilities. Be careful. That's not the Lord. And you're not engaged with Him in that service at that particular point in time. And you need to back up and you need to take some inventory and say, Lord, I really want You to get the credit. May I never really be comfortable with that credit. May I always be comfortable with just giving it to You. The wisdom of God is not something that is acquired by man, but by God. It is a divine endowment, not a human achievement. And when it comes to the word of wisdom, it is a spiritual gift that is given as God wills. Today on Seeds of Commitment, Lance Cook will offer us some details on the spiritual gift as well as the gift of knowledge. As we are in a series of studies dealing with spiritual gifts based in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14. Today we'll be looking at verses 4 through 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. On today's broadcast of Seeds of Commitment, here's Lance.
In verse 5 he says, there are differences in ministries. That speaks, of course, of the government or the administrations. It refers to the opportunity for service. It reveals the service. The word gift or charis there, or charisma, speaks more of the origin, while ministry speaks more of the application. The application. So we have diversities in gifts, we have differences in ministries, and then we have diversities in activities as well in verse 6. The Greek word for activity there is the word energeo, which means to be active or efficient or effectual. The English word energy is actually derived from this same root word. Here, this speaks of power. Power that actually equips us for service. The idea is that this is a diverse experience. Now, of course, it's the same Spirit. But how we experience the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that empowerment that activates and qualifies our gifts, man, it is diverse. Some experience the power of the Holy Spirit, come upon them, and they actually feel something. Their emotions are affected. They might even develop some goosebumps and hair raising on their arms, you see, and maybe a flooding sensation of joy or God's love. They might even well up and have some tears. Others feel nothing like that, and that's okay. There's diversity in activities. Personally, I know that when I come out here to teach, I know it is a gift that God has given me. It is not of myself. I could never do this in my own human capacity, but it is a gift that God has given me. And I found that sometimes as I'm teaching, I've been studied, I've prayed, I felt that God has given me, something to give. I'm in the back, I'm worshiping, I'm preparing my heart, and sometimes I come out here and I teach, and sometimes there's just clarity. I don't know where it comes from. There's clarity. Things come to my heart, things come to my mind, and I just begin to share them, and the next thing you know, I'm saying, where did that come from as I'm sharing it? That was incredible. How did those things even connect? I don't know. And I'm almost having this conversation with myself as the Holy Spirit's talking. You guys are nodding, taking notes. I'm going, where's this coming from? But as I'm doing it, I don't feel anything. I feel just as relaxed and comfortable. I'm nervous most of the time. But I mean, as far as the teaching part, yeah, just as the way it goes, as if I was sitting down with you, having a cup of coffee. Other times, because it's diverse, how the Holy Spirit comes upon you and begins to activate that verse, that gift. Other times I'll be talking and this emotion of God's presence and my emotions begin to respond to that, and my throat will tighten up and I can't talk very much. And my emotion sometimes acts with tears. My body responds by expressing tears. And I'm being so touched by the Holy Spirit in such a unique way as that gift is being operated. It's very different than other times. Other times it's just elation, it's joy. Maybe because I finally made sense or something. I don't know, but there's joy. And I'm like, wow. And their joy fills the room. And I can go on and on about the various diverse ways I experience the Holy Spirit touching me when I am, allowing Him to exercise the gift of teaching through my life. Now, why do you bring that up, Lance? Well, I didn't bring it up. Paul did, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But I think it's worthy of development. Because we are the kind of people that we will see, you know, something or hear something and go, ooh, that's the way it's got to be. We like to formalize things, don't we? Well, that guy over there, you know, he got just like Timothy, you know, there was the laying on of the hands of the elders and the presbytery that they laid hands on him and he received the gift, you see, and that's when he began to be used. So, you know, I understand there was, you know, my friend over here, there was 5 elders and 2 deacons. So get the elders and the deacons because that's the way it's got to work. I want a gift. I want my gift to be, you know, empowered and I want to go. No, that's not right. It's diverse. It might have been the way it was for Timothy. It might have been the way it was for someone else. You might be driving down the street in your car. No deacon with you. No elder. You haven't even seen an elder in like a week. Don't even know who they are anyway. Haven't seen one though. And all of a sudden, man, God begins to empower you and someone's next to you and you begin to have this incredible graciousness or whatever begins to overtake you and you begin to maybe give a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. Or you begin to have this incredible discernment that is connected to those gifts. And wow, how to drive it down my street. Well, does that mean everyone needs to go out and buy that kind of car and drive down that particular road to receive that kind of gift? Absolutely not. It doesn't work that way. But it is our nature to, you know, formalize and to try and, you know, formalize how the Spirit works. That's the way it worked for them, so that is what I expect for me. And so we've got to be careful. The book of Acts, which is the model for all of us. Jesus is the ultimate model for our Christianity. The book of Acts is, you know, how it is lived out through human beings. But the model, the book of Acts, shows us that as believers receive the Holy Spirit, there's really no two cases that you might say were identical. There was a variety in each case. Sometimes there would be a group of people praying together and the Holy Spirit would come upon them. Later on, there would be Peter and John. They just came and laid hands on people. And as they laid hands on people, they received the Holy Spirit. With the case of Paul in Damascus, it was one disciple who came to him and laid his hand on Paul and he received the Holy Spirit. In the house of Cornelius, Peter was simply preaching to a bunch of non-believers. And somewhere through that message, I love that story. No formal altar call, not that one song we like to sing, Come Just As You Are. None of that. There was no raising of the hands or anything. It was just teaching. And as he was teaching, the truth began to be received within their hearts. And they believed and they received the Holy Spirit, just as Peter was preaching. With the church in Ephesus, Paul laid his hands on them. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied as they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Always different because there are diversities in activities or diversities in operations, some of your translations might say. So we don't want to try and formulate, nor do we want to try and regulate how the Spirit might work in an individual's life. We don't want to copy each other. We don't want to copy another person's experience. So we have the diversities of operations, but it's the same God who is working all and in all. Every spiritual gift comes from the same Spirit. There are diversities, but the same Spirit. The same Lord and the same God. Our Heavenly Father bestows the gifts through the Spirit. He arranges the manner of service through His Son. And He Himself is the power that enables the gift to operate. We see the triune God at work. Verse 7. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Manifestations, that is the outward evidence of the Spirit working within. The exercise of a gift is a manifestation of the Spirit, not a manifestation of the person. So we watch a person sometimes that has been used in an incredible way. Maybe they've been given a word of knowledge or, you know, they have the gift of wisdom or the gift of teaching or whatever it might be. And we go, ooh, oh, look at that person. Look at how, you know, and we almost applaud the flesh. Well, they're such a great orator. They're such a great communicator. They're such a great... And it's like, hold on. Now, that manifestation that you watch, that outward, you know, evidence is nothing more an outward evidence of the Spirit working within. The exercise of a gift that God has given It's not the person, it is God, if indeed it is a manifestation of His Spirit empowering one of His spiritual gifts. The test of its genuineness is that it profits the whole body. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And you know, that is the way you can always tell if indeed it is God. God is not giving an individual a gift for the benefit of that individual. He doesn't give it to you for the benefit of yourself. And so if you see someone kind of using the gift for the benefit of themselves, understand, that's not God. There's different ways they might use that to benefit themselves. Some take the gift and use it for a career. Man, I want to, you know, be this worship leader. Man, I want to be this evangelist. Man, I want to be this whatever, this counselor. And they have been given incredible gifts. But they take that gift and they begin to use it for their own benefit. Wow, I can really make a living out of this, a livelihood out of this. God's not into creating a career for you by giving you the gift. God is into building up the body. That's the goal. That's where He's going with it when He gives you that gift, when He empowers you with that gift. He wants to edify the body. And that's the way you can always tell. You watch a person. Watch their disposition. Watch their demeanor. Watch their attitude. Is it others-focused as they're using their gifts? Is it really benefiting the body of Christ? Is it really building up and blessing others? Is it focused on others? And when it is, man, it's so cool because you can applaud the Lord and go, man, God's using them. I look at the work that God has done here, and sometimes I sit back and I just get welled up with pride. And I mean in the good sense of pride. I'm taken back by how many people can just surrender to the Lord and allow Him to use them by expressing His power through the gifts that He has given them. And it begins to bless the body, whether it's in children's ministry, the various gifts being exercised over there, whether it's in, you know, a counseling setting, whether it's in the parking lot, the ushering, the deaconing, and the whatever, through the worship, the various ministries that we see both in the sanctuary, on this property, and extending through this place. It is an incredible compliment to the Lord. It really is. As He is manifesting Himself through these people, by giving them the gift, by activating the gift, by empowering the gift, by blessing and honoring the gift, as it goes out and it has positive, life-changing, you know, edifying effects on the body of Christ. And that is a compliment to the Lord. Gifts are bestowed with the purpose of bringing spiritual profit to all. In chapter 14, verse 12, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. The word edification in the Greek means the act of building a structure. So man, it's never about you. It's never about you. God, He wants to use you. And in that aspect, yes, it's about Him and you. But man, when He begins to use you, it is about others, the edification, the building up of the church. Might I say this much? You'll know your heart's right when you have a hard time taking compliments from people about your work, your use. The flesh will always be tempted. Let me say that much. The flesh will always be tempted. But if your heart is right and it's really about, well, God doing, God supplying, and others benefiting, you're not interested in compliments. They'll almost take you by surprise when someone pats you on the back or compliments you or begins to build you up for the gift that God gave you that was intended to build other people up. Man, there'll always be an awkwardness. I'm not saying don't take the compliment because sometimes people need to say thank you for blessing me. That's okay. But if your flesh starts to settle in and embrace that and say, you know what, that is me and I am a really gifted person. Naturally, I've got these abilities. Be careful. That's not the Lord. And you're not engaged with Him in that service at that particular point in time. And you need to back up and you need to take some inventory and say, Lord, I really want You to get the credit. May I never really be comfortable with that credit. May I always be comfortable with just giving it to You. Extending that credit and that appreciation to You. And we do have a loving body here. And so don't be surprised if people do hug you and thank you. And that, you know, that's okay. Just use that opportunity to maybe say, isn't it great what the Lord is doing? Let's continue to lift the Lord up, the source of all of this, right? I think that's really important to understand at this point in time. also as we talk about our church, as we tell others about our church. Understand again, you know, when we come together, the Lord exercising all of His gifts through this body, make sure we're giving the credit to Him. We're not placing it on an individual or on a philosophy or on Calvary Chapel. Man, it is the Word, or the Lord doing a work through His people. Well, as we move into chapter 14, we'll see one gift that does benefit the individual. That is the gift of tongues. We'll get to that very shortly. But now the gifts. We have about 15 minutes to slam some of these home. But the gifts, the charisma, the capacities for service. First, in verse 8, the word of wisdom. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit again, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. The word of wisdom is seen in the early church as insight for practical conduct or action. It's insight. Insight from above, but it's for practical conduct or action. It's not just knowledge. It is wisdom from above. Wisdom from above. It is the gift of having the ability to hear and understand and apply that wisdom that is from above. In the early church, it was commonly used, this word of wisdom, as it was exercised in diffusing potential divisions. In Acts chapter 6, the Hellenist widows, of course, you remember, were complaining, feeling neglected. The church leaders said, pick seven of your own. Stephen, of course, was one of those that was chosen. And it says that they were to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. The gospel, of course, began to spread right then. The number of disciples began to grow throughout Jerusalem. All kinds of people were getting saved. Even some of the Jewish priests were getting converted. Stephen began to be used, doing great signs, great wonders among the people. Men began to oppose him from the synagogue of the freedmen. But it says there about Stephen, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which Stephen spoke. The word of wisdom surfacing in a very divisive situation. Acts 15, Jerusalem Council. Men were claiming that unless the Gentiles are circumcised and keep certain laws, they were not truly saved. They cannot be saved. That brought the church leadership together, Peter, Paul, Barnabas, James. And the Holy Spirit there, in the moment of that potential divisive season, began to impart the gift of wisdom as they began to resolve this very divisive situation. In a letter that was written by the council of leaders, they even said in verse 28 of Acts 15, later on, it says, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. I like that. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit speaking to them, giving them the wisdom to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And then the instruction that they would need. They had the ability to hear, understand, and apply the wisdom from above. It was a word of wisdom that diffused a potentially divisive situation. It's no wonder the gift of wisdom is used in those divisive situations, because James chapter 3 talks about the wisdom from above. That wisdom that comes down from heaven, he says, is first pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, it's full of mercy, it's full of good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. It's sincere. So when someone has been given this gift, and that gift is operating, it's manifest, you will see these characteristics mark what that person is and what that person says. Because that which comes down from heaven is pure, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruit, without partiality, the wisdom from above. The gift of wisdom might be that which Jesus was referring to when he told his disciples in Luke chapter 21, I will give you words of wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. Oh, how you might be able to use that in counseling settings. Seriously, some of the greatest counselors are not those that are trained in our seminaries or in our higher education, but those who have their ear to God and hear Him. They can hear, they can heed, they can apply it. The word of wisdom. Then there is the word of knowledge. It may come by way of a scriptural truth that God places on a heart. It may come by way of an inner discernment or understanding of a certain situation or a certain person, an inner thought or an inspiration. Great example is in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. They sold their possessions, as you guys well know. They brought a portion of their money, not all, but they were acting like they were giving all. So when Ananias came and he laid that money at Peter's feet, he said, "Is that how much you sold the property for?" And he said, "Yeah." Now, nowhere do we see Peter having the inside scoop on this. He really didn't know. But in that moment, there was that word of knowledge placed deep into his heart from God alone. And Peter said, "Why has Satan deceived your heart to lie against the Holy Spirit? You've not even lied just to man, but you've lied to God." Again, the Holy Spirit gave him that wisdom. It was that word of knowledge as he declared that truth to Ananias. By the word of knowledge, he realized that Ananias was in hypocrisy. I've sat down in church discussions before with people that are having difficulties in their relationships, or maybe difficulties with other Christians in the body. And I've sat down with prayer and with the Bibles out, and I've watched people hear counsel from others that I know is the word of knowledge. God is giving knowledge. It is. I know the person. I know they don't even really personally have enough information to be saying what they are saying as they're imparting words into the lives of these people. And I go, "Whoa, that's heavy, man. God has given them the knowledge right now." And it's amazing to see some people not take that and accept that and embrace that. Again, the gifts are given to build up the body of Christ. I think that for you that are making big decisions, "I'm going to get married. When I'm going to get married. I'm going to move. When I'm going to move. I'm going to make a business decision." I think you would be a fool to make a big decision without coming to the body of Christ and saying, "Can I talk to some elders, and can I talk to some of the spiritually mature in this place? And I've got this big decision. I'd like to get people praying for me." And man, think of what you're opening that decision up to. The word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. You never know who God is going to bring in. God who sees the future before you get there. Man, that's valuable information. But today, again, I think the body of Christ, the current body of Christ today, is disengaged from spiritual gifts. Not just their own personal inability to use them, thus being engaged, but they're not going to others and exposing themselves and making themselves open and vulnerable to others who have those particular gifts. There are times when I will sit down to teach, and the Lord will give me, and I can show you my notes. I use red ink when it's the Lord. Red ink when it's Jesus in my Bible. It's red ink when Jesus speaks to my heart in the back room. Red ink. And I write it down. And I got red ink on some of my notes right here. But I don't know why the Lord said, "Say this tonight," or "Put this down right now." But afterwards, someone will come to me and go, "Bullseye. How'd you know?" "I didn't. Such and such called you." "No, they didn't. I don't know them." "Are you sure you didn't talk to my friend or my spouse?" "Didn't talk to them." The Lord had something for you. And you know, it's amazing how many times we don't engage with that. We're not built up by that because sometimes it's stuff we don't want to hear. But the Lord loves us. And the Lord desires to build us up. And so some in the body He bestows with the gift of knowledge. Some with that particular gift. Now that gift is foundational for preaching and teaching, and I believe counseling as well. Again, we see that surface many times, and I've discussed that already in sermons. Something comes up. But both of these gifts, again, are used to guide the body and at times individuals in the body, but for the most part, guide the body. If a person does not have this gift himself, again, they've got to be relying heavily on those who do have that gift within the church.
Well, today on Seeds of Commitment, Lance Cook has been offering us a detailed description of the gift of the word of wisdom and as well as the gift of knowledge, as we've been learning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, examining the first 9 verses. Now, if you'd like to receive a copy of this study on audio cassette or compact disc, we have it available. We would ask you to please make sure you mention tape number 4602-30. That's 4602-30. And for credit card orders, simply call us at 714-441-2845. We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover Card. And again, simply call us at 714-441-2845. If you're sending us a check, please make it payable to Seeds of Commitment and write to us at 1370 South Euclid Street, La Habra, California, 90631. And we'd love getting your feedback as well, letting us know how Seeds of Commitment has been a source of encouragement and help in your walk with Christ. Again, write to us at 1370 South Euclid Street, La Habra, California, 90631. And then make it a point to join with Lance Cook for more rich commentary in our studies in 1 Corinthians. Until then, may God bless you as you stay committed to the Word of God.